Tomorrow morning, tickets go on sale for Project Down and Dirty, War of the Worlds. And that means we got to start doing this next week around this time, right?
Oh, is that going to be when we're going to be doing all of that?
I mean, does it start Monday? A week
Tuesday,
from tonight?
Tuesday. Okay, so. Tuesday we'll have our first rehearsal. The director will sit us down socially distanced in a million studios and explain to us
what the
vision of the show is.
What our roles are going to be. Who's got the speaking part.
Proper Zoom call etiquette.
Right. Who knows? They might be, you know, looking for, you know, like they might be just casting that very night by asking us impromptu, you know, doing things.
Sound like a Dracula.
Right. You might need to audition for Peter Rothstein.
Right. Right. But the thing we won't be able to do is that always is the disappointing thing is the, you know, bonding over drinking. Rocco,
really? That always happens. The truth.
And I've never really been part of it, so we'll see.
Mm-mm.
No,
I didn't get to sleep in that trailer or that Mall of America storefront.
So this will be a virginal. Next year is really when you'll learn.
I can't imagine, because I think it's the 10-year anniversary of Project Down and Dirty.
It's going to be something huge performance-wise. Oh, I hope my legs hold out a couple more years.
Listen to her. She's ready to go. She is ready to go.
Okay, so did you see your boyfriend, Matthew McConaughey, or Casey calls him McCogney?
Of course I saw him. I read the New People magazine cover to cover, and I have to admit,
it was been in a salon chair.
I was getting my toes done. It was lovely for the first time since June. That's way too long.
Horny foot, what are you thinking?
I know. I was too busy. But he is lovely, and he's lovely and lovely. So tell me what you loved that we learned, because I already know what you're going to highlight right now, because I know you.
So his book comes out tomorrow called Green Light.
Yep.
And apparently Matthew has been keeping journals for a long time. Yep. And Matthew has, like I had, young, horny parents who were not afraid to fight and bleep.
Make up, because we were just talking about that.
Fight and make up.
Yep.
Okay.
And they got divorced two times and remarried three times.
Right.
His parents.
Right. And one time they had a make up fight with sex, like basically in front of him. That's one story in the book. And then his dad always, you would joke, I'll go out.
Bleeping your mom.
Yep.
And when your mom and I are bleeping, and that is literally
exactly
how they were having sex, and he had an orgasm and then a heart attack. Mm. And it reminded me, and this was why I was afraid of sex from Private Benjamin. That is a guy going to have an orgasm on top of you and die and have a heart attack on you.
Don't screw an old one, Julia. That's
but I remember thinking kid watching Private Benjamin. Is this what happens? They die on top of you?
Wow, Julia. I saw that at a young age. That was very impressionable.
It probably changed you.
Yeah.
Right. It made me be the last American virgin until I was 50.
Anyway, so he's the one thing he's not doing, and he said it in the interview. He is a true Texas gentleman. He does not kiss and tell. Nope. He said there's a reason why bedroom doors are closed. And so he is not spilling anything, any news at all.
And his relationships.
And he had some really amazing, didn't he date Penelope Cruz too?
Yes, he did, right here.
Who all has he dated?
Okay,
he does go on about how that he knew about his wife. He felt the, you know, the lightning, the whatever he describes it as, he knew it right away when he met her.
He did.
But
say
he'd
that.
Been dating for a while. He talks about the bongo thing. He's very forthcoming. The review is getting very, you know, people are saying that that's the only thing. But he was up front with the publisher and everybody about that he was not going to
talk about his.
Yeah, his love life.
And he talks about his three kids, and he always wanted to be a dad, and and that he really kind of took a step back and said, I'm not going to take any more roles that are rom-coms, and I want a heavy role, and that's when he won his first Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club. But he went out with everybody. I can't find the list.
He really did.
Sandra Bullock. Yeah. Kate
very
Huffin,
eligible. He was good and single for a long time. You know, like I want to say, wasn't he like late 30s when he got married?
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
So anyway.
Beautiful.
I love it. Okay.
So that comes out tomorrow, and it's called Green Light.
Right.
And George Clooney is talking for some reason. He is talking to the Sun on Sunday in a group Zoom when he said that, you know, because he was on ER from 94 to 1999. And in the middle of that, he did Batman in 1997, Batman and Robin. And it flopped so hard.
He was the second Batman.
He said he and Chris O'Donnell, Uma Thurman was in it. It flopped so hard that it almost ruined his career because directors refused to work with him.
Wow.
And so when Steven Soderbergh said, I want you in this movie with this gal, Jennifer Lopez, called Out of Sight, he said, that's when that was the director who took a chance on me.
And that is, if people haven't seen that movie, that is such a sexy, hot movie.
Might be one of the last ones made, Julia, as far as like that level of sex.
Good.
I have a very interesting Sex Monday today that involves just exactly how much sex time some of our favorite people of the last 20 years have spent having sex on screen. Right. It's disappointingly low.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Anyway, okay.
Rocco.
But so one of the things, though, what I thought was interesting is he said, you know, he was buddies with Paul Newman.
And
George Clooney was, and he said that at one point in time, they were all set to be in the movie The Notebook. Paul Newman was going to play the James Gardner role, and George Clooney was going to play the Ryan Gosling role.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, we really wanted to work together. They kind of were buzzed one night, and they talked about doing this movie called The Notebook. Mm. And so he said, yeah, let's do it. Let's go ahead and do it. And we're going to do it together. And this will be great. But he went home and he chickened out. He said Clooney did. He watched old movies of Paul Newman. And he said, he's one of the handsomest guys I've ever seen. We met up again, and I said, I just can't play you. I don't look anything like you.
Well, that's true.
And so it ends up being the other guys. But here's another person that was supposed to be playing the Rachel McAdams role, Allie. It was supposed to be Jessica Simpson. And we learned this in her book as she was up for the part of Allie Hamilton. The lead, it ultimately went to Rachel McAdams. She turned it down because they would not budge on taking out the sex scene. At the time,
her dad was her manager.
She was married to Nick Lachey.
Oh.
And she learned that Ryan Gosling had been cast as the leading man. Later, she learned this, and that in reading her book, she was part of the original, tried out to be in part of the original Disney Mickey Mouse Club with Ryan Gosling, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, all those people. And she had such a crush on him when she was 12. And she said, I was in love before anyone even knew how hot Ryan Gosling was.
He got to be in love with the 12-year-old Ryan.
And he was cool. He wasn't like into it. She said Justin Timberlake was kind of a dweeb.
I totally.
And she said fate intervened one more time, and she was contemplating leaving her then husband, Nick Lachey. And she was.
To do the movie.
No. Oh. Just in general. Oh, she had already said no to the movie.
Yeah.
And it was after she was on a plane ride going back from New York to L.A. or whatever. And she said, and what comes up for the entire cabin to watch, The Notebook.
Oh, my God.
She said, it's so weird watching this, which I was kind of up for, but said no with him, who I always had a crush on.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good.
Things I kind of like all those casting stories because there's so many stories about who was going to be cast and how these other people were cast, and you could never imagine it anywhere without Gina Rowland and
James Garner.
And we met James Rocco. It was very wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm a big Rockford Files guy.
He was the recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Screen Actor Guild Awards, and he was able to come backstage
and talked with us forever.
Long time, and he was on his own, and he was in his 80s something.
He died shortly thereafter.
He did, but he was, we couldn't believe how rugged and virile and handsome he was for, you know, his physical years. And I remember looking at you, Joy, and I said, if anything happens, you know, I'm going to go past my dad's age with this one.
He was so yummy. I mean, the wisdom and the coolness and just kind of still.
If you watch those Rockford films, nobody's cooler than him.
Yeah, you're right about that, Wacko.
Beyond. He really is.
He is. So that's some good Notebook
stuff. Yeah, I like that a lot. By the way, Goldie and Kurt, we have the trailer. You know, they're going to be in his sequel to his Santa Claus movie, The Christmas Chronicles, which, did you watch it last year? I feel like you did.
I didn't.
Julia, it's one of your happy movies that you like.
I know, but there isn't a love story in it. You know,
well, now there will be because Goldie's in it.
Then I can watch it.
She's Mrs. Claus, and hopefully they're going to, you know.
They'll be darling together, I bet.
He really has quite a beard. When I was watching that thing, I'm like, is it like, it almost looks like.
He was the Shaggy D.A. way back in the day for Disney, and he has more hair.
He does.
Than most people.
He does.
He really does.
And then, so that's posted. And then Anne Hathaway, you know, who's going to be in the upcoming reboot of The Witches, showing everybody her resting witch face. Uh-huh. It's kind of scary. Just saying.
Yeah. And she's cute.
By the way, Rhonda Fleming, you might not have known who that was, but she was a femme fatale of the 40s and 50s. One of the last grand dames of Hollywood from that era passed away at the age of 97. Julia today. Her big claim to fame was she was in like 4 Ronald Reagan pictures when he was really in his acting. Okay. But she got typecast by being the bubbly, cute redhead who looked great in clothes. And
is what's happened in my life.
Yeah, right.
I look good in clothes. Mm-hmm. I was the bubbling blonde who looked good in clothes.
She was in a Bing Crosby movie, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. You know that black and white gem.
That was easy for you to say that.
Anyway, but she was in like the redhead and the cowboy. And anyone who's a 40s or 50s, like Quentin Tarantino is sad today about this. It's like she's from the same era as Armie Hammer's grandmother, who was a star, you know, where you're in just an endless sea of B movies.
Right.
You know, and they just crank them out and they've got exciting names. Like, let me just give you a couple.
Oh, give me, please.
And the thing she loved about Ronald Reagan, he never, ever looked in the mirror. And she said, I'd never met an actor who didn't look in the mirror.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't vain that way.
Alfred Hitchcock chose her to play a nymphomaniac in Spellbound, starring Ingrid Bergman and Gregory Peck. She and her mom had to go home and look up nymphomaniac in the dictionary.
Mom, this sounds like a really good lead. What am I going to do?
That's one you knew at a young age, I bet.
Yeah. I don't know,
but she was discovered walking home from Beverly Hills High School.
As one does.
Yeah,
I love it.
In the 902. Anyway, Rhonda Fleming. All right, we'll be right back with the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hello, Holly. We've had just a tiny bit of dirt today. That's it.
Just a little bit of dirt.
I feel dirty from this show.
Well, it is Monday after all.
It is.
We're going to talk about some serious stories in the world of celebrity justice. A headline today that a judge in Los Angeles is allowing Danny Masterson's rape case to go forward.
Whoa.
The judge ruled today that the rape case against Danny Masterson can go forward, rejecting a defense argument that the allegations are too old to be prosecuted.
Wow. That's a big deal. Huge, because he's been hiding under the Xenu
Scientology umbrella for a long time.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, for a long time.
Unbelievable. And it has been getting kicked around.
Yes, it has.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So Danny Masterson is accused of raping 3 women at his home between 2001 and 2003. He could face 45 years to life in prison if convicted on all these charges. Now, Danny,
they think they can prove the case is what that says to me. Someone said, go ahead, we can prosecute this.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because Danny's attorneys were arguing that the case should be thrown out because the alleged rapes occurred outside of the statute of limitations. But the judge is like, no. The L.A. County District Attorney's Office has charged Masterson under California's one strike sex offense law, which provides for potential life sentences for certain sex offenses, including allegations involving multiple victims. Now, the district attorney.
And aren't like most of the victims Scientology or the ex-Scientologists?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is correct. And you guys had a really interesting conversation with Tony Ortega from the Underground Bunker, who is a Scientology blog, and really detailing the it's been 2 decades since these things happened, mm-hmm. and Scientology fuddling with LAPD and right. Scientology intimidating victims. I mean, this is just a really messy case.
It is. And it's been a scandal that he's gotten away with it. So this is like a huge victory for those women today. You know, it's a big step in being believed. They investigated.
Yes, and the three accusers have also sued civilly Danny Masterson mm-hmm. and the Church of Scientology. They did that last August, alleging that they had been stalked and intimidated after going to the police.
He's married to Bijou Phillips.
I know.
Yeah. Yes, he's still out. He remains free on $3.3 mm-hmm. million bail. He did not attend the court hearing today. He hasn't entered a plea in the case, and his arraignment was rescheduled to November 2nd. So that is moving forward there. Other celebrity justice news. Harvey Weinstein not going to be released from prison on $2 million bail pending an appeal of his rape conviction. That's according to sources at Page Six. They're denying the defense bail request today. So there he goes. There he stays in jail. Good day. Mm-hmm. Have a nice time, Harvey Weinstein. This is sad news hitting the wire this afternoon. Robert Redford's son, James, has passed away at the age of 58 after a cancer battle.
Aww.
Yeah. His wife confirming the news that he has passed away after dealing with bile duct cancer. Now, apparently, he was dealing with this pretty much his entire life. James had received several liver transplants during his life. And as a result of his health struggles, he founded the James Redford Institute for Transplant Awareness, which is a nonprofit founded to educate about organ and tissue donation.
And that's not who lives next to our cousin, is it?
No, that's his daughter.
All right, the daughter
that's
lives right next door to our cousin in LA.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. It seems that James and Robert worked together very closely. They founded the Redford Center in 2005. That's a production company, nonprofit, mm-hmm. focused on producing films and providing grants to filmmakers who focus on environmental and climate films.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. His wife shared the news today. So thoughts go out mm-hmm. to Robert Redford and his family. Cardi B turned off her Twitter over her reunion with Offset. It's still off. I checked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing the thing to get attention where it's like, okay, well, I don't want attention, so I'm going to draw attention by deleting my social media account. And then you guys are all dragging me for getting back together.
Well, I mean, Offset. Sooner or later, someone will like convince Cardi like to have a PR strategy because she's like in the middle of trying to be friends with her fans.
Right.
And friends will give you advice. So who wants a bunch of advice from a bunch of anonymous people you don't know on the internet right. when you're living your life out loud like that? It's a tricky balance. And she's got, what I can see, not a relationship I would want.
Yeah.
No.
With that,
it
you
seems
know.
Very volatile.
Very volatile. But it's working for her right now. Yep. But anyway, I just think she could just use a little PR guidance.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure if you guys talked about this next story or not. I didn't hear your guys' opinion on Adele hosting Saturday Night Live.
I'm nervous for her. And because I think that would be one of the most nerve-wracking things to do in all of show business. I have always been in awe of anyone who will host it. They do the monologue. They do all the skits. The stuff is, I mean, this to me sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, but Adele announced over the weekend that she's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live. It's not that she's the musical guest.
Right.
Her
yeah,
is the musical guest.
Right.
She's going to be hosting this. We have never seen Adele do any kind of formal comedy. People like her stage banter, her personality right. when she's doing her show. But
she's
other than that,
drop an album, yeah. you know, either yeah. next week or this week. Probably not this week. Probably next week. But
really,
it's been 5 years. But that's the rumor.
Oh my goodness! All right, the internet is dragging Hailey Baldwin for wearing a $10,000 coat that looks like a mop and string cheese today.
It's one of those cardigans, Julia, you're telling me about.
It's a coat again.
Basically, they're oversized coats that were bad in the 80s, Holly, and they're not any better now.
No, and it's not looking any better on Hailey Baldwin. Mm-hmm. She's out and about. This coat again costs $10,000, and it does look like she is wearing a mop with string cheese down on the bottom. People are not really here for that at all.
It's all that big oversized
People are in it. The kids are into that stuff. I mean, she needs she's the size of a toothpick.
No, it's a grand millennial look. Yes, I'm not for it.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Did you guys see Bruce Willis doing a commercial for Die Hard car batteries? Because this is where we are in 2020.
It was 3 minutes long.
Is it a big budget commercial for batteries? That's what it's for.
Yes.
And, oh, my gosh.
So if you saw Die Hard, Bruce Willis, John McClane, any of that kind of stuff trending, it was on last night. It was an ad for Die Hard car batteries. I want to know...
Good payday for him?
Good payday for him, but it took this long for the Die Hard battery. I think that you used to be able to get those at Sears, I want to say.
Yes, it was Sears. Die Hard was a Sears brand.
Yes, and so finally...
Like craft tools, something sports craft.
They're realizing that we got to tell people we have it. We should have paid this guy a long time ago.
Exactly, and it was Craftsman's tools.
Thank you, Craftsman.
Yeah. Thank you.
At Sears.
Well, I got to say, Bruce has still got the swagger.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No, Tuffskin jeans. My mom bought me those. That's funny. They're really attractive when your ass is really big.
Let's talk about sex for now. To the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow.
Oh, here we are.
This is really, really, really needed on this Monday, October 19th.
Okay.
Because sometimes we're so busy just talking this, that, and the other thing about sex that sometimes we forget that we have to get to back to the basic. Okay. Get back to the basic. And that is that basically it comes down to it's called. Technically known as the erotic blueprint breakthrough. But basically, there are 5 sexual blueprints that people have.
Okay. Just 5.
5.
And these are common?
That exist.
Okay.
And people are one or the other, maybe a little combination, a little half and half, but there's not, you know, I'll give you what they are.
Okay,
and
please.
See if you can identify yourself.
Okay.
And it's basically the reason all I could think of after I read this study that someone put this out is that there are people who are not in touch with themselves, pun intended.
I get it. Okay? I get it. Okay.
They don't know what they like. Maybe they're shy about it. Maybe there's been trauma, you know, whatever it could be, there is that. So we're just going with the fact that this is just like
the 5 sexual personalities.
Blueprints. Let's call them blueprints, Julia. Okay. Because there's lots of ways to go on a blueprint. Okay. We don't wanna put anyone in any kind of a little cubby.
All right.
So there's the energetic blueprint. And that is a person who is just simply aroused by space, the anticipation, the tease, that those are their, you know, wet spots and boners, if you will.
So it's just okay. So it's not even the act; it's just the anticipation.
It's that is what is going to excite you.
Okay.
Sexual blueprint is what excites you. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I just get
you call that one energetic.
Yeah. Energetic is what
you're aroused by the tease.
By
I
the
think
energy.
By
the energy, the space, the anticipation. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, then there's just the what we just call flat out sensual. That is where one touch from someone else, one sensation, one taste, and one gigantic sniff, otherwise known as smell, gets your rockets
okay,
all fired
so
up.
Okay, so it's all of your senses all igniting, and that's all it takes for you.
That's all
okay,
it takes. That's all it takes.
What's that one called?
Sensual.
Sensual. Sensual. Okay.
That's where the smell trap comes. Scent trap. Into play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was where our first concern about pubic hair disappearing came from, Rocco.
And this is
all those years ago.
2002, we were discussing this crisis.
That's right. Okay, then the next one, not to be confused, this blueprint with sensual blueprint, but is called sexual, and that is simply you are aroused by the simple act of intercourse. Just doing it does it for you. You are the kind of person that people pray to meet.
Okay.
No. Okay, that's the sexual. Then there's, of course, you can't have a blueprint without having kinky.
Oh, well.
Because kinky is anything that's aroused by taboo.
Okay.
So the guy or gal or whoever wants to know right away about your toes and how often you get pedicures, you can be assured he's got a kinky or she's got a kinky blueprint that they're that interested in your feet. That's an early indicator, okay, whether or not you want to continue going.
All right.
Okay. Then there is, I think, what many, many, many people are, mm-hmm, and it's called the old shapeshifter. And that is, you can be aroused by all of the above, and it can change and shift at any time, depending on who you're with.
Well, that's like circling D, all the above.
Exactly, Julie. But we like to call it shapeshifter in the
with sexual
blueprint.
Right. The shapeshifter. Mm-hmm. The shapeshifter.
Because sometimes maybe you are just like, maybe you were with somebody that was like, you were sexual. That's all you had to do. Like, I think that's what Cardi B and Offset is.
It's just pure sex.
She's admitted she's addicted to that D.
Okay.
And it is just that. It is so good for her. She just wants that. And then outside of the bedroom,
she really doesn't want a relationship.
Well, maybe unless they're eating or they're going something fun with the kid.
Right. Okay.
You know, doing some fun activity. Okay. But when you sit and talk to the person, like, you know, You're maybe a bicker or whatever it is.
Right. Okay, got it.
So don't, right, you know, it's got nothing to do with, if you think about blueprints, you know, it's just like, you know, just.
All right, so,
can be any
so basically.
Rocco, did you learn anything?
I was just going to say, basically, we've learned nothing. I really, do you think you learned something, Rocco, seriously?
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a cop out that there was an all of the above.
I know it. Well.
But is this similar to like those books about love languages? You know, what's your love language?
Yes, yes. It's the same kind of thing.
What's your love language?
Well, are you asking Rocco? Or are you going to put him on the spot?
I'm asking you.
It has been all of those things.
Yeah.
I've kinky, yeah, all of those things. People
look
have
which
been,
one you highlight first. Well, I know. I know that about you.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Julia? When you're a good girl with a boyfriend for 2 years, you learn things one way. Then you become a bad girl, and then you learn a whole other set of things.
Look at this. And she's talking about when she was 14.
Okay. No, I wasn't, Julia.
She was 16.
No, I was 17. Almost 17.
She was 17.
Almost. Basically, almost had my, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I would agree. I think at some point, it really does, because mm-hmm, I think I couldn't pin myself on any one of these.
Right.
And but sometimes it's fun to be all the above at the same time.
Exactly.
That's like really, woo!
Yeah.
Winning.
But like this friend of mine who had like this, what I would call a Cardi B and Offset, where they just seemed to be addicted to just screwing each other, and how she could always get him, if she could get close enough to him.
Yep.
And she could nip him on the back of the neck, that would be all it took to end the fight, and they'd be on the ground rolling around. Or Matthew McConaughey in his mouth. I mean, mm-hmm, it was that kind of a thing.
Wow.
He was sensual.
Yes. So, one touch, his one
blueprint.
Taste, one smell.
His and she
blueprint.
Knew it.
Okay.
If she could just nip him in the right place. I mean, to me, it's like if you're fighting
that's
with
power,
someone.
It's like zap.
I know, but if you're fighting, like, and people saying bad things to you or not nice things, or you're fighting or whatever, the last thing you feel like is love nips.
Well, right.
You know.
But if you can pin them down to stop them from fighting, maybe that's a superpower.
All right. Well, there you go. So
are we going to learn anything else?
Maybe.
All right.
Which Hollywood movie star do you think has had the most sex actually on screen?
Oh.
Do you have any idea?
All right. Will you give us three names?
I will give
you. Can you give us a choice?
I will give you a name. They're all top people.
Okay.
Just name anybody that's a movie star, and I will tell you how much sex they have actually had on screen, because somebody at Decider spent 4 months watching all the movies and coming up with who has the most sex on screen.
Gosh, I'm thinking about who's always doing it.
Sharon Stone?
No, talk about, we're only looking at guys. I'm going to be
guys.
Sexist. I'm
okay,
only looking at guys
I don't know
right
if
now.
It's George Clooney.
Well, George Clooney
would be up there.
You'd be surprised.
Is he not?
He's really not, Julia.
Okay, Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt is number 4 on the list. He's been in 39 movies. Only 8 of them have had sex, damn it. And 392 seconds
Hugh Grant.
Of sex Hugh Grant. On screen over those eight movies.
How many seconds?
392 seconds. That is so disappointing. I don't know what that is in minutes.
Okay, what about Hugh Grant?
Hugh Grant. Oh, geez.
Johnny Depp.
No.
Wilford Brimley.
Oh, be quiet.
The Rock. No, it's got to be someone. Michael Fassbender. I mean, it's got to be someone who was in a, like a dirty movie that they're gonna rank all the minutes.
Judge the number of sex scenes, the total time.
Matthew McConaughey.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh. Really?
Yes, because he has made 50 movies.
Oh.
12 movies with sex, almost 600 minutes of on-screen, whatever that is. I mean, River's Edge, he has sex in a park that is also a murder scene.
Oh, wow.
That goes kind of goes on and on.
Okay.
And for 3 minutes and 49 seconds in Destination Wedding, he has sex with Winona on a tarantula-ridden hill.
I apparently that's
which blueprint
supposed
to is that?
That's kinky, and no one else could have done that. In The Devil's Advocate, he shows his butt and sucks either Connie Nielsen or Charlize Theron's toes.
All right, keep going. Who else? Give us the second
even
one.
Keanu's worst sex scenes, like The Matrix, Feeling yep. Minnesota, are better than average. Then
right, give me, who's next?
Robert Pattinson.
Oh, Twinkles?
Twinkles.
No, I don't want to see. This is disappointing.
And then Jake Gyllenhaal, Brad Pitt, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, it's real, but you know who spends the most time having sex, at least in terms of, I mean, even beating Keanu because he's done so much sex in so few amount of movies, Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, yes.
He All is. Right. Mr. Sexy Sex, and they find that the longer, once the guys get into a superhero franchise, the sex scenes come way down.
Okay.
But Timothée Chalamet, 50% of the time he's having sex, Robert Pattinson, 36%, Jake Gyllenhaal, 30%, Keanu Reeves, 24%. And Brad,
I'm going to brush Pitt. Up on some Jake Gyllenhaal.
And yeah, we simply have got to get more sexy sex. And I mean, they right. just don't make some of the good adult kind of movies like they did in the 80s and
They're
90s.
So good and dirty.
Kind of. There was more of it.
There
and
was.
You saw more of the guys.
Yeah,
too.
You
it wasn't
did.
Just. Anyway, I think it would help everybody's mood if there were to be these types of, you know.
I would agree. All right. More sexy scenes to help everyone's moves.
All right, that's my take for Sex Monday. We'll be right back.
Wait, okay, so tonight, just if people, you know, big Monday night, everyone's got big plans. I actually do. Okay, but I'm going to tell you tonight what is going to be on. The Voice is coming back.
Yes.
With good old Gwen Stefani in a mirror.
Rocco, do you watch that?
Not really, no.
I don't either.
Right.
I saw enough karaoke singing in my 20s and
30s. Yeah, yeah, I like that
wow,
good shade.
It,
Let
dude.
Me pull
that
up
was,
under your umbrella,
that
Rocco.
Was something, okay.
I mean, I'm just kind of referring to all those singing shows.
Yeah.
I just can't get into them.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like two different football games on because one was from last Thursday.
One's
night,
on right now.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
yeah,
me?
It started at 4. It was moved from Thursday because of COVID, I'm guessing.
Right? Probably.
Is The Bachelorette on tonight? Or do we have
I
to wait
I think that's
till tomorrow?
Tuesday and Dancing with the Stars
oh,
is
Dancing
tonight.
Oh, Dancing with the Stars yeah. is tonight. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if you're wondering other things that are happening today, you're supposed to be evaluating your life.
Well, thank God Mercury in retrograde is over. That ended like last week was just the last 2 weeks have just been a misfire of miscommunication. If you felt that way. It's over.
It's over, people.
Yeah.
It's over.
I mean, there's something else coming, but that one was really a biatch. I'm going
yeah,
to just
all
say.
All right. You know, we were in love with Chris Bohlini, or how do you say his name? Bohini's, the flight attendant. He was on our show for both
Bohalian.
Of us.
Bohalian.
Yes.
Chris Bohalian.
Or Bohini.
Mm-hmm.
We love that book, The Flight Attendant. And then I can't remember the name of the second book, but we finally have
Red Lotus.
Thank you. That was the one about the poisoning of the rats, Lori,
yes,
that
I
we
know.
Talked about earlier. Okay. So we have a date. Kelly Kyoko. Is starring in this. She's producing it and she's starring in it with other people are going to be in it. And it's going to be released on HBO Max November 26th. Okay. It's going to be 8 episodes.
I hope I know how I get HBO. So I hope I get HBO Max.
Casey will tell you that's a Saturday. That's a Saturday. So if you're wondering,
Rocco, you do you know how that works? I think it does. It's
like, what? And I know, I don't know what you watch things through, but I have Roku and
I have Roku
and
too.
HBO went away from Roku. And so the only way you can get it to your TV is if you have like an Apple TV and you watch it on your iPad and AirPlay. Yeah, if you have Roku, you're kind of out of luck.
Well, but I have to find Roku another... and I'm watching that show
on
I'm
HBO,
watching
though?
HBO on...
But HBO, you still subscribe to regular HBO. This is HBO Max.
Right, but I already get the premium one, so I should get the other stupid thing.
We've already talked about this. You don't.
All right.
It's not that easy. So that's interesting, Rocco.
At least that's the way it was a while back. But,
all right.
You know, it was
we'll try.
A month ago.
Try it. I'll look at it tonight, too.
Well, wait. Check it out before then to tell us what we're supposed to do, because put Casey on another mission. Today, it's to get heat outside for the winter months so we can have family gatherings. And tomorrow, it can be
not just family gatherings, but happy hours.
Yes. We need a place to gather.
Yeah, we need outside places to gather. By the way, they did that. All the acts that were working with the National Independent Music Organizations performed. And Holly posted, Miley Cyrus performed at Whiskey A Go-Go. And she did a cover of...
Good.
It was so good. I want to see her do rock.
Yeah, she did Zombie and she did
The Cure.
Boys Don't Cry, which was so great. I can pull them up in a second here if you want.
Oh, do it.
So good. And we posted it and you can continue to donate. They were trying to raise like $5 million for Save Our Stages for all these very, you know, music, all the bars, which are going to be the last thing to reopen and trying to save money and also ways. If you just go to Save Our Stages, you can send a note to your congressperson saying this is important that this be in this next round of money that we need to save. You know, there are places that are like 40, 50, 60 years old. Anyway, so that's, but Miley was just killing it as a rock chick or working her.
Yeah, here's the, this is The Cure.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
I love, she should do a rock and roll color and Kelly Clarkson should do the cover of her genre because she's all over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, those two women can
they're so
sing
talented,
so many
so
different
good.
Things. Yeah.
Anyway, so go to Save Our Stages if you're interested. And then Madonna, she's done. She's finished. She and Diablo Cody have
finished it.
The screenplay about her life, it came in at 333 pages, or she said in a video, I think you shared it. You took me a screen grab. She did an Instagram. The age of Jesus at his death plus 100. And then she said the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the highs and lows. And then she burps.
Yeah.
Nice. Which was funny. I thought it was funny. And did you know that screenplays, you guys, are generally thought to be 1 minute per page?
Oh, really? No, that's a good little factory. How many pages is
that? That would be 2 hours and 13 minutes on screen.
Okay, that's interesting. So one full page of copy should only just be a minute in a movie.
In dialogue, yeah.
All right, this is good to know when we're writing the screenplays.
Not counting musical numbers.
Oh, okay.
Madonna plans to direct the movie, which makes us nervous, and Cody... got a little time in the Madonna video, but it was kind of a cute little funny video, and I like her pink hair.
She's so cute.
It seems like maybe Diablo Cody and then just spending all that time with her kids is like, you know, I don't know.
Calmed her down a little bit, making some better choices, as it were.
I don't know. I don't care about any of her choices. She's got enough money for everything she wants to do, right?
I'm just teasing because for a while there, she was just like...
Well, no, I mean,
in the pool, the bath with the roses and the...
I will never like Madonna in horn-rimmed glasses pecking away peckishly at an old typewriter in black and white in a lace dress that looks like something from the 1880s. It's just not
it's,
a look.
It's a nap dress.
I can't endorse nappy Madonna. And Lindsay Lohan is hiding out in the Middle East. Because HarperCollins served her little brother over the weekend.
Oh, you're kidding
for
me.
For the $1 million that they gave her for doing a memoir that she never did. Anyway, there you go.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for the updates. Bye, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great Monday night.